One of the startling facts of history is the widespread prevalence of sexual sins in the Roman Empire into which Christianity was born. Every form of sex deviation was commonplace among the Romans at the advent of Christianity. The letters B.C. can mean either before Christ or before chastity. So universal and universally legalized was sex indulgence before the coming of incarnate love. Marriage. As we Christians understand what marriage means, was in a shambles. Polygamy and concubinage were as widespread as the men, masculine gender, could afford it. Even among the Jews, polygamy was simply part of their religion. Divorce and remarriage were the order of the day. They depended on the financial resources of both men and women. Human law was wide open in recognizing the validity of discarding wives, and I should add, and wives discarding husbands. The Roman orator Cicero tells the story of a Roman senator who apologized one day for being late for a meeting of the Senate. He had to, by rule, explain to his fellow senators why he was late. "I am sorry," he told his fellow senators, "I have just divorced. Meam vigesimam primam uxorem, my 21st wife." Fornication and adultery were part of Roman culture, and homosexuality, especially among women, raised like a prelude to the feminist movement of our day. A Greek physician of the first century of the Christian era lists no less than 17 approved medical contraceptives to be used by women who wanted to avoid, well, conceiving a child that would be a burden either to their freedom or, as they said, to their physical appearance. All of this can be found, I mean every word of what I am saying, in dozens of volumes of the history of the Roman Empire at the dawn of Christianity. All of this is also an eloquent witness to the theme of this conference. There can be no chastity, true Christian chastity, without the bedrock foundation of Christian charity. Oh, how vice can disguise itself. I go on. The witness of 20 centuries. The subject we are dealing with is no mere historical relic. It is, I assure you, not moral speculation. It is not mere ethical philosophy. It is the bold witness of 2,000 years of religious experience, and the future of our nation depends on it. The days of America are numbered. I'm no Isaiah, but I know the history of Christianity. I repeat, the days of America are numbered. When Christ told his followers, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another," he was giving us both a promise and a warning. The promise is clear. Those who claim to be Christians, in fact, and not only in name, must practice charity. If they do, insofar as they do, they shall be admired and followed and spread the Christian faith to the farthest reaches of the globe. That is Christ's promise. What is the warning? The warning is that Christianity will not just flourish, but actually survive only where, when, and insofar as professed Christians are living lives of selfless charity as practiced by Jesus Christ and demanded by him of his followers. Now the key to our conference. The acid test of Christian charity is a practice of Christian chastity. No one cheats here. No one can be evasive here. No one can cleverly dodge the hard facts of life here. As chastity goes, so goes Christianity. As chastity goes, so goes the Catholic Church. You don't close 62 parish churches in the Archdiocese of Chicago in something like a year without a reason. You don't close 42 parishes in the Archdiocese of Detroit, where I live, without a reason. You can give 1,000 reasons here in my judgment. It is the most fundamental. McCarthy Church in any one country or diocese today is only as strong as the practice of chastity by professed Catholics. My married people in the practice of marital chastity. By the unmarried in their practice of what may be called, and I don't hesitate saying, heroic chastity in a world that is intoxicated with the idolatry of lustful self-love. My priests and bishops, in their fidelity to the celibacy they have promised to Jesus Christ. My religious and those in consecrated life, by their faithful commitment to the vow of consecrated chastity. Until a generation or so ago, we did not talk this kind of language. But we better. The survival of the Catholic Church in America is at stake. My closing reflections into the future. Anyone who knows what is going on in today's world has no illusions. My 25th year in working for the Holy See and when you work in the crankcase, you get covered with axle grease. I know. Take the prophetic history of Pope Paul VI, encyclical Humanae Vitae. Within months of its publication in July 1968, the Episcopal Conferences of most of the nations of the world met in solemn session to pass judgment on Paul VI, Humanae Vitae. Many of these bishops' conferences, through thousands of pages of pious print, left the practice of contraception, as they said, quote, to the consciences of the faithful, unquote. My God, for a believing Catholic, the Vicar of Christ is just that. The spokesman for Christ to enlighten the conscience on what is God's will. This is where the faithful laity, unqualified in their allegiance to the Bishop of Rome, do not budge or squirm when it comes to the practice of Christian chastity. Once they know what is the mind of Jesus Christ. in June of 1950, I had the privilege of assisting with a radio broadcast of the canonization ceremonies of the young martyr of chastity, Saint Maria Goretti. In the Pope's homily, that was Pope Pius XII, after the canonization, he told the largest assembly ever gathered for a canonization in the Church's history. 800,000 people. Here's what the Vicar of Christ told him. He spoke first to the young people and asked them whether following the example of the 12-year-old girl he had just canonized, whether they too would be willing to lay down their lives than have anyone deprive them of their virtue of chastity. 100,000 voices shouted, "We will, we will." And then the Pope repeated, this time to the parents, "Will you promise me, in the presence of the mother, Margarita Goretti, the mother, was still living. She attended the canonization of her daughter. Will you promise to train your children, even to dying, to preserve their Christian chastity?" And this time, 500,000 voices shouted, "We will." Then a prophecy. Date, 1950. Said the Holy Father, "I predict the second half of the 20th century, you'll be a diabolical conspiracy to destroy the faith of millions of once-believing Catholics using sex pleasure as the bait to destroy their faith." That prophecy has been fulfilled. I'd like to close with a short prayer. Mary, Mother of God and our Mother, we beg you to obtain for us poor, banished children of Eve, the grace to follow your example out of love for your divine Son. Ask him to make us more and more like you in selfless charity, so that we might grow in the practice of loving chastity. Amen. Thank you for listening.